to another delicious episode of Las Vegas Weekly's Second Helping Food Podcast. I'm Brock, and I'm here with Leslie and Genevieve and a special bonus weekly team member guest of honor, Jeff Carter. Hey, Jeff. How are you? Thanks for being here.
Tasty.
Jeff, you are here at our invitation because we're going to be talking about one of our favorite food topics today, and it is inspired by probably the thing that I miss most about our pre-pandemic work life, which is we used to get together in person every week to talk about stories and plan the next issue of Las Vegas Weekly. And for me, the best part of those meetings was always the donuts.
Yeah.
Mostly because we weren't an office that was organized in our donut consumption. There wasn't planning about who's going to bring the donuts this week. So sometimes on the best weeks, we would have a few dozen donuts in there, even though we're a small staff, and we would have a ton of donuts in there. So I miss that experience. I'm sure all of you guys do too. So we're having like a little virtual donut fest for this month's episode. And Jeff, you grabbed some donuts today.
I was inspired. Yeah. I went to Donut Bar, which is actually my first time since, I think my first time this year.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got a half dozen.
When you go there to get donuts, do you actually choose, give me one of those, give me one of those? Because I'm a big fan of just going into the donut shop and just give me a dozen. I don't care what they are.
I've done kamikaze in the past, but this time I was like, give me one of those, give me one of those. Cause I was going with, you know, the half number and frankly, I was panicked because I had to get back and get to another meeting, you know, and then just trying to guess, you know, what my girlfriend would like. So I ended up with a number of cakes and one jelly, which I just scarfed down.
What was the jelly flavor?
Raspberry. And it had a little bit of icing and a graham cracker sprinkle on the top. It was quite tasty. Kind of like a Pop-Tart type of situation.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good. Genevieve, you got some donuts today also. Where did you go?
I did. I got up early and I went to Ronald's in Chinatown. It's probably the only donut place I will drive to that far. I'm in Henderson, so it takes a little while to get there. And I just got, you know, a sprinkled one for my kid. And I got a cake one because I wanted to try it. And I got a yeasty donut, a twist, and I got an apple fritter. I know we've had discussions in the office about cake versus yeast, and I am partial to yeast donuts, but I wanted to try cake donuts today to expand my palate.
This is a controversial topic, I think. I think if we had more of our colleagues, this could be a bloody battle, cake donut versus, you call them yeast donuts. I have always called them raised donuts, but it's the same thing, really. Leslie, I feel like you are very opinionated on this
topic.
I'm
just sitting here biting my tongue. Well, first off, I'm empty-handed today. I don't have any donuts. But if I did, right up the street is Master Donuts. It's on Desert Inn and Eastern. And that's my favorite spot. I bet by now they're sold out. They usually sell out by like 10 in the morning. So I think they open at like 5 or earlier. But I love their donuts because they're just like super old fashioned. And that plays into why I am such a cake donut proponent. Like, I just love cake donuts. I love the simplicity. I love the texture. I love that there's like a little bit of crunchiness on the outside, but they're like sturdy on the inside. Yeah. And they're perfect with coffee. And I think the biggest thing is like, they tend to not be as sweet as the yeast donuts. So yeah, I'm cake donut all the way. And it seems like in the office, it's like pretty split down the middle. I know Spencer, who's not with us, is a cake donut guy. Cindy, who's not with us, is a yeast donut girl. So I think you and Jeff have to break the tie.
Ugh, that's a lot of pressure. Why must we choose? Can't we just love both?
I love both. You know, my love of donuts is unconditional, and I hope donuts' love of me is unconditional as well.
I feel the same way.
I know this isn't my place, but I had two quick questions for the group. which donuts did you grow up with, and do you have a current favorite? Like, you know, makers of donuts.
You're talking about favorite donut shops, basically.
Yeah, but with but also want to know which one you grew up with, because I grew up in SoCal with Winchell's. That was my thing.
I also grew up with Winchell's because my parents grew up in Southern California, and I grew up here and in Oregon, but the California influence is vast in both of those places, and they have Winchell's in both of those places. So I'm same as you. That was my donut shop of my youth, and I would always get a maple bar when I was a little kid. That was always my go-to.
That was probably my favorite too when I was a kid. I grew up in Arizona, and I had Dunkin'. I remember Dunkin' Donuts in Arizona, but maple bars were definitely my thing.
I grew up in a small town in Indiana called Munster, and there was a little place up the street called Mr. Donut, and that was my favorite. None of you guys will know what I'm talking about, but that also goes back to like my cake donut appreciation, because that's all they had there. So my OG donut, and to this day, the kind of donut, like, I'm plain. I just get a plain cake donut with chocolate icing on top, and like, it's my favorite thing. I love it.
It's a good one.
Not a chocolate cake donut, just plain.
No, plain cake donut with chocolate icing on top. And I mean, if I'm getting like a baker's dozen or something, I'll throw a chocolate one in there, but I'll even order just a plain cake donut with no icing. Like, I'm so weird. I love the dough. It's so good. It's like just slightly sweet and crunchy and perfect.
I fell off donuts for a long time, and then I picked them up again while I was living in Seattle. I would go to Top Pot, which was the big gourmet donut place up there. Oh yeah, you know it. And you know, and since I've come back here, a whole bunch of great donut places have opened up, you know, where I can't, you know, sometimes I can't even choose. You got, you know, Donut Bar where I went this morning, you know, Pink Box. There's this place on the other side of town just opened up, Wicked, that I'm hot to try out. It's Winchell's is just so far in my, you know, in the back of my mind now, because I've had so many good gourmet donuts. I can't imagine going back just to standard box of Winchell's donuts.
Mm-hmm. I think Vegas is a pretty good donut city, actually, because we have a pretty good mix of local mom and pop places that have been around for decades, like Ronald's and Masters, and there's a lot of those, actually. Every neighborhood has one of those, or so it seems. But then we've also got the big chains, the Dunkin's, the Krispy Kremes, and then we've also got a pretty good selection of newer places that are kind of doing donuts in the, you know, the voodoo style, where it's like a little bit more trendy and crazier toppings and flavor combinations and stuff like that.
Yeah. I was in Oregon, I think in February, right before everything shut down. That was my last trip. And I went to Voodoo. And as you know, in Portland, the line is super, super long unless you hit it like right when they open. Or so I went right before my flight and I got a donut. I have to say, I'm not a fan of this large gourmet, like, I really like, lastly, I like my donuts a little plain on the plain side, where you can really taste just the dough. I'm not a fan of the more exotic flavors, I guess.
The best of the exotic ones I tried was a Donut Plant in New York City.
I love Donut Plant. Sorry.
What is that place all about?
It's like Voodoo, except a little more restrained, and the donuts are just fantastic.
Yeah.
But you do get the big, you know, enormous, you know, like family sized donut there, you know, like, you know, creme brulee, or, you know, all kinds of, you know, fancy dancy, you know, combinations, but they're really good.
Earl Grey, matcha, like, I mean, you name it. It's just interesting stuff. But I mean, I wouldn't want it every day. I would want it as a occasional treat, like you would a cake or something.
Yeah.
I think that donuts are a very personal food, and I think people are loyal to whatever is their donut place. Even if I think donuts is one of those foods where it kind of doesn't matter the actual quality of the donut. I think you're just so attached to whatever you like or whatever you think you like or whatever we grew up eating, like we discussed, that you're always going to go to that place because you always want to have that experience. Even if a donut shop opened two blocks down that was superior in every possible way, you would still go to your favorite place, right?
For sure. I feel like we need to have this discussion quickly. Leslie does not think that an apple fritter is a donut, and I do. But admittedly, it's because it was a Winchell's thing. It was part of the Winchell's selection. That was what I'd usually end up with after, you know, everybody else ate the rest of the donuts.
Well, I'm not, you know, negating the fact that apple fritters are available at donut shops. Like, yeah, that's definitely a thing. I just don't think that they're donuts. In the same way that cinnamon rolls are available at donut shops, but are not donuts.
But it's available, you know, you can make it part of the dozen, you know, it's not like, you know, they're serving, you know, donuts and also grilled cheese, you know, it's.
Well, okay. So there actually is a donut shop near me. I don't know what it's called, but they have tamales and donuts for sale, but like, no one's confusing the tamale for a donut, like just because they sell them both there.
Well, let me ask you this. Are they good? Should I go there? Because I could go for a tamale right now.
I know. I've only been there once, and I had to like have a lot of restraint because I just couldn't bring myself to getting a tamale and a donut. But I really wanted them. They looked good. So I'll have to try them next time.
Now I'm trying to figure out if a tamale is a donut.
Well, you don't fry them, you steam them. So I would say automatically no.
I mean, you don't have to fry a donut either. You can bake it.
What if you fried a tamale?
I would eat it.
Oh.
I recently came into possession of a deep fryer. I'll let you know.
Now you can go to that shop and get tamales and fry them up and get some more donuts. It's perfect.
Well, I recently had a burger where the bun was a donut, and I thought, okay, this is not a thing. And I ate it, and it was actually really good. Not that I would go out of my way to find it again, but it was actually, the flavors were actually pretty good together. I don't know if you ever had that.
You had yourself a Luther. That's what it's called.
What it's called?
It's named after Luther Vandross, who, it was a burger between two Krispy Kreme donuts. They did an entire episode of The Boondocks about it.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. No, I don't know. I didn't hate it like I thought I would.
I've never tried one.
I've had that only once. Fuku Burger used to be a recurring special when Fuku Burger had its truck. I'm sure they've done it in their restaurants a few times too. But they used to, when they started out parking their truck in Chinatown all the time, and they would go get glazed donuts from Ronald's and throw a cheeseburger in between a couple of them. Yeah. It's pretty, I mean, over the top indulgent. Like if you want to feel bad about yourself, a donut burger is a surefire way to do that.
I have to say that every time I go to Ronald's, I'm actually also partial to the apple fritter. I always get one, and I actually save it for the next day because I can't eat it all at once. I think that they're also donuts, although, you know, obviously Leslie disagrees. I think it's a donut. But as mentioned earlier, you can't really get an apple fritter anywhere else but a donut shop. Or can you? I don't know.
Not as controversial to me as the cronut.
Which, like, sounds so good in theory, and I just feel like aren't, like, ever executed well.
I'm indifferent.
That was a crazy popular fad that didn't really sustain, did it? The cronut. Everybody was doing those for a minute, and now, like, no one cares about the cronut anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were good, but they were too hard to eat, you know?
For sure.
You have to have a full-on strategy to eat a cronut without destroying it. You can't, like, pick it up and bite it. That's what makes a donut so great, too. You know, you can read your phone while you eat a donut. It's a one-hand operation. It's delicious. What more could you ask for?
More donuts.
Well, if there's such a thing as a Las Vegas donut dynasty, it would have to be Carl's Donuts. Carl and Lynn Sanders moved from California to Las Vegas and opened their first donut shop in Wonder World, which was a discount department store way back in 1966. Eventually, they expanded to a really big store and bakery on Martin Luther King Boulevard. And for decades, Carl's has been supplying supermarkets, convenience stores, casinos, restaurants, coffee shops, anywhere you can get a donut in Las Vegas, there's a good chance that Carl's has made that donut for you. Just a couple of years ago now, Carl's expanded again, getting back into retail, expanding on its very successful wholesale business by opening a new storefront on Sunset Road in Henderson. I know that I've been a huge fan of Carl's ever since I've been living in Las Vegas. And when they opened that new store, pretty close to the offices of Las Vegas Weekly, that's definitely been the spot for me to go get a dozen donuts and bring it in for one of those meetings that we talked about. Carl's is still going strong these days, making the best of the challenging circumstances during the pandemic. And I thought it'd be a great time to check in with Amber Ramsey. She is the COO of Carl's Donuts, and Carl and Lynn were her grandparents.
First off, how are things going right now at Carl's Donuts?
So Carl's Donuts retail is doing pretty good. I mean, it's slow during the beginning of the week, I think, because most people aren't picking up donuts to go to the office or taking their kids to school, so they don't have a little bit of that extra free time. They're just not doing it. So retail's good on the weekends, weekdays pretty slow. And then our wholesale has taken quite a huge hit just because convenience stores are now wanting everything prepackaged. So there's only a couple of items we can do for them that will like hold up with like shelf life because, you know, it's so hot here. As soon as you put any sort of wrapping on the donuts, they start sweating, they start to, the eye appeal's gone. And then with all the casinos being closed for such a long period of time, our wholesale really took a huge hit because they're one of our largest customers.
Yeah, I didn't really think about the convenience store part. Donuts are definitely not made to be individually wrapped in traditional materials, so right. That does present quite a challenge, I guess.
Yeah, so like 7-Eleven, Circle K's, Rebels, all those types of stores, they typically have that self-serve where you can go in, grab that one donut, but now you can't have people grabbing things. You don't want the driver to interact with customers throughout the store, so lots of weird little hurdles out. Weren't expected.
I remember when you opened the store in Henderson, I guess a couple of years ago now, there seemed to be a really, really big warm response in the community to you guys having a storefront.
Yeah. When we closed for COVID, we were getting so many Instagram messages like, Carl's is the highlight of my week. Our family loves to come. So while we were closed, we were so bummed because we finally felt like we were like picking up steam. You know, 2 years in, people are realizing we're there. They're excited to come see us. And then everything kind of stopped. So we're trying to rebuild that with everyone again. But on the weekends, we got lots of people coming in. They like to sit out on the patio now because we're not doing the indoor seating. And it seems to be trending in the right direction.
That's good to hear. Yeah, once you establish a donut ritual, there's really no going back, right?
Right. I have my own donut ritual, so a couple donut holes a day.
Well, yeah, you probably have to keep it on the level, being exposed to these treats for hours every day. That's got to be a bit of a challenge.
Yes, it's helpful now with the mask because like I'm not pulling it down to grab bites of donuts. But before I was having probably one full donut a day, or at least I thought I was being healthy and having a couple donut holes, and then one day I was like, let me look up the calories in here, and I'm like, I might as well just eat a whole donut at this point.
Yeah, that was something that I wanted to ask you. I mean, you've really literally grown up surrounded by donuts, surrounded by this business. When I was growing up, my dad worked in different kinds of restaurants. He ran a deli that made sandwiches, and he worked at a Mexican restaurant, and then he moved on to working at a produce company and starting his own produce distribution company. And at different times, I remember as a kid being tired of eating sandwiches and tired of eating fresh fruit, even though it's so good. Did that happen to you? Did you ever have a time when you're like, I cannot take another donut in my life right now?
Yeah, I would say probably in high school. So I think I started high school 2006. So probably from 2006 to like 2016, I would say I like a good 10 years, I did not eat donuts because I was working at the wholesale. So the offices there are like in front of the bakery. So if I wanted a donut, I would have to get up, go to the back, grab it myself. And that was pretty much enough of a challenge that I was lazy. And I'm like, I'm not eating donuts. I'm smelling them all day. I'm over it. But now I'm addicted to them again. Like when I was a kid, I would eat them every day, probably several times a day. Then I stopped and now I'm back on full sugar addiction. And well, we have the bakers now too, which are, those are my weakness, like the danishes and the croissants, like those things, those get me.
You got such great variation too, like you just said, these different kinds of pastries too, not just the traditional donuts.
Yeah, there's always something at Carl's that I'm like, that sounds good today. I get that.
Well, I'm sure part of that kind of, you know, coming back around to donuts, I'm sure part of that has also been your, you know, your expanded role with the family business, stepping up and being pretty much a leader with the company and getting this new store open a few years back. What's that been like to kind of, you know, reconnect with your, I guess, your family legacy, really?
Yeah. It's, I would say, challenging for me because before my role was so small, like I was just printing the invoices or answering the phone, like just pretty standard office work. And now I've kind of had to take on all these roles that I, not that I wasn't familiar with them, but I just was never given that opportunity. So every day I'm finding things about myself that I kind of need to change a little bit too. Like I hate waking up early, but I'm like, girl, you signed up for this job, you know, you gotta figure out a way to make the mornings your favorite part of the day. And even doing like little interviews and stuff like this, I'm pretty quiet most of the time. So finding my own voice and feeling confident talking about the things that I've grown up with has been kind of hard, but I'm getting there.
So I guess that is proof that you can turn yourself into a morning person, but maybe it requires donuts and coffee to make that happen.
It does. It definitely requires the coffee first thing in the morning. I'm like, so glad we have that cold brew on tap. I have to get a cup going first thing when I get there.
Well, during this pandemic, when we've all been spending more time at home, I've kind of developed a new donut ritual, which is the afternoon donut. That's not something that I ever engaged in before, but now it seems like, you know, you got to have that afternoon coffee boost too. So I've been able to do that. Pair the donut with the iced coffee in the afternoon. Summer in Las Vegas, it's working out pretty well.
Yes, I think you're onto something because normally at the retail, like the mornings would be our biggest rush, obviously. And now we're steady throughout the day. So I think a lot of people are needing that sugar fix in the afternoon.
When we first spoke back when you opened the shop, you told me that your tastes have changed as you've gotten older and you prefer the more simple donut variations these days.
Yes.
Is that still the case or have you developed a new taste for something else?
So we're still creating like super fun specialty flavors, not all the crazy ones, but they're still not my favorite. Like they're yummy, they're cool, but right now I'm really into the chocolate old fashioned. And I have like a whole way I go about eating it. I like to eat it from like the outside, all the crunchy parts, and then I like section everything off. Like it's a whole production. And everyone knows because it's kind of like my stress food too. So once I go to grab that, everyone's kind of looking at me like, are you okay, girl? Like, do you need a break? And I'm like, let me eat my donut in peace and have my coffee and then I'll come back refreshed.
That sounds good. And I'm all about the going from the outside in thing. You got to have a method when you're having a donut.
Have to. I know. I see some people come in there and just like stuff the whole thing in their face. And I'm like, no, what are you doing? Like, we got to teach you how to eat it properly.
Have you guys noticed that there are different kinds of donuts that are more popular since the pandemic started? Like, are people going for fancier, crazier options, or are people going more towards the simple things for that kind of nostalgic treat these days?
I would say most people are sticking to the classics. I also think that's because the price point on those donuts, you can get 13 donuts for $9.50. So I think that's kind of good for the times right now if you're not having so much extra income to spend. So I think the classics are doing really well for us. We released a couple like summer flavors once we reopened, and those have been really good for us. Like, we did a strawberries and cream, so that one's fresh strawberries and pastry cream. That one's really, really popular. I don't know if people are just wanting the fresh fruit because they feel like it's healthier, but that one's a really good seller for us right now too.
That sounds pretty good. Well, it's great to check in with you. I'm glad that things are going well out there, and I can't wait to get back out there and get a few dozen next time I'm get to go back to my office again and see my people.
Yeah. Well, I'll look forward to seeing you then.
Amber is the best. All right, it's time to do the best things that we ate this month. Let's start off with Jeff Carter. Jeff?
I had some Korean barbecue ribs that were made by my friend Sung Ha Lee, who you might know. He's a, you know, big deal bartender in this town, won a bunch of awards. He was at Tokyo 365 downtown and Mandarin Oriental. He was making ribs and kind of, you know, auctioning them off to friends to help support other bartenders who are out of work right now. And he, you know, gave us some ribs, and they were fan freaking tastic. You know, just, you know, we went out and, you know, got kimchi to fry up to go along with it. And it was, you know, it was just a nice, you know, pre-pandemic experience back when I used to, you know, hit the Korean barbecue pretty much every other week. And he's moving back to South Korea for a couple of years, so I'm gonna have to, you know, kind of relish that taste for as long as I can.
I feel like it's rib. This is like rib season. September is like the rib time of the year, right? Barbecue time.
For sure.
I haven't had barbecue in a long time, and that sounds really good right now. But the best thing that I ate this month, I actually wrote about it recently for the weekly, and it was a guava and cheese empanada at the new Take It Easy Coffee Roasters, which is a new place that's kind of hiding just off Spring Mountain Road. It is from the makers of Makers and Finders Coffee. It's a really cute little place, pretty fancy operation they got in there. They got going in there in terms of all the cool scientific coffee gear. But they also have a lot of Latin pastries, and I love empanadas. And the empanadas at Makers and Finders were already some of my favorites, but they have some a little bit more exotic flavors and fillings at Take It Easy. And this was my favorite, my first visit, because it was kind of funky, like the sweet tanginess of guava with like a really salty cheese in there. It was really awesome and went really well with some really strong coffee. So I highly recommend that everybody checks out Take It Easy.
I'm very intrigued by that flavor combination, so I'll probably hit up that place this weekend. The best thing I ate this month was an egg sandwich at Egg Sammy. I finally made it out to Egg Sammy, which is in the Southwest. This restaurant opened, it's a breakfast place and lunch, I guess. They opened right, I think, the week of the pandemic, if I remember. So, I mean, obviously kind of a tough time to open, but they're doing really great. You can just go up to the counter, get a sandwich. If you're a fan of Egg Slot at Cosmo, it's kind of along those lines. It's all just egg sandwiches. Really, really tasty. And there's the best part is there's a park across the street where you could, now is a good time to, like, you know, put down a blanket, have a picnic, which is what I did with a friend. And it was awesome. And they also have beignets, which is a variation of a donut. I don't know. It's fried dough. So I don't know if it's counts as a donut. Probably not. But that's the best thing I ate this week. So definitely check out Egg Sammy if you haven't.
Now we have to argue about beignets too. We're going to have to do a whole episode about beignets and fritters.
If you do an egg sandwich episode, though, I want back in, because like it's my favorite meal of the day.
Oh, I totally agree with you. It's mine too.
We've been during lockdown, we've been trying to duplicate the kind of fluffy egg slut, you know, consistency, and, you know, just messing around with, you know, cooler pan and creme fraiche and all that stuff.
Fun fact, I did a story like years ago when Egg Slut first opened, and I interviewed the chef and owner on how to make those fluffy eggs. And even though I wrote the story, I still to this day cannot do it. Like, I was in the kitchen at Egg Slut watching him do it, and I can't. Like, they came out so runny, and I was just like, I don't understand. But you could always check that out and try to give it a go.
Recipes in your article?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Leslie, wrap it up. What was the best thing that you ate?
On Sunday, I went to Lemongrass inside Aria, and I'd never been. And I feel like that's kind of maybe a restaurant that's overlooked a little bit. It's a Thai restaurant on the Strip. There aren't too many of those. And I ended up having this soft shell crab salad that was to die for. It had like shredded apple, fried crab bits, and that kind of like sweet and sour signature sauce that you get with a salad like that. And it was just delicious.
I love that restaurant. It's totally overlooked. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of our better Thai restaurants overall. And we have so many in Las Vegas. How were their apple fritters? No. No fritters?
That's going to do it for this episode of Las Vegas Weekly's Second Helping. Thank you so much for joining us and listening today. I'm sure that you're already on your way to get some donuts. Special thanks to Amber Ramsey and Carl's Donuts. You can go visit the store and pick up your own sweet treats right now. They're at 3170 East Sunset Road, and you could get some more information at carlsdonuts.com. That's Carl's with a C, and donuts spelled D-O-N-U-T-S, the real way, the best way to spell donuts. Also, special thanks to Jeff Carter for pitching in this month, and, of course, many thanks to Sonia Barcelona for lending us her song Violent Water as the theme music for Second Helping. You can listen to more incredible music at artofsonia.com. You can find past episodes of this podcast at lasvegasweekly.com/podcast. You can also listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts or on Las Vegas Weekly's YouTube page. Thanks again. Enjoy that donut. We'll see you next month.